speak for all real niggas in attendance today when I say we ain't got time to worry about no shit like stretch marks. We know they either came from one of two things. Nigga, either you was big and got small, or you was small and got big. Either way, we fucking. Either way. Right.
What's up, y'all? This is Casey Lehman, and we are having a super duper special edition podcast session right now. This is the Podcasters Roundtable, where I have invited my favorite podcasters to get on the line with me and have our own roundtable. I'm hosting a virtual roundtable right now. Online with us so far, we have Mr. Burberry Jones of the Burberry Lounge. We have Mr. Moody of Mr. Moody's Neighborhood, and we also have Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips. If you guys are not hip to these shows, I'm certain after you hear these podcast sessions, you will be. You got to check them out. You have to check them out. Gentlemen, if you guys don't mind, can you all just kind of introduce yourselves and speak a little bit about your own shows before we jump into the conversation? And I think we just have Chris Lehman of the Brothers Lehman who just jumped on the line.
This is Chris.
Hey, and then somebody else. Who else just jumped on the line?
Hey, this is me, Daryl.
Hey, it's Daryl from Ashy to Classy and the Straight Outta Low Cash podcast. I want everybody to go around and say your name so that the listeners get familiar with your voice and just say a little bit about your podcast.
My name is Burberry Jones. I am the host of the Burberry Lounge podcast. Also, you can check out my website, burberrylounge.com. I do a lot of book posting. Recent author of a book called Finding Inspirations, a book of poetry. I also am sometimes host of a show called The Lyricist Lounge, which I do as part of my podcast. But check me out there. I appreciate you having me on, Casey. I'm a big fan. You know, I appreciate you recognizing talent when you see it and getting talent on your show.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Moody?
Hey, what's up, fam, man? Look, it's the grandfather. It's the old dog. Mr. Moody, man. Mr. Moody's Neighborhood featuring the 50-50 Brothers and DJ Naturelle. Of course, you guys can find us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. Most importantly, come to our website. Check us out on myndn.net or mynextdoorneighbor.net. And we are Real Talk Podcast, family-oriented, no holds barred. It is what it is. No apologies, and we have a ton of fun, and we're always open for discussion of any sort, y'all. So real talk for real people, and ring the bell, man. You're in the hood. KC, I love you, baby girl. Thanks so much for having me on.
Love you too, big bro. Can I get Rod to introduce himself?
Rod, please.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Half of the show is a comedy podcast I do with my wife 3 times a week. And the motto of the show is nothing's wrong if it's funny. And unlike Mr. Moody, we do not keep it real, and we will apologize. So, peace.
Damn.
Thank you, Rod. Daryl?
This is Daryl Frierson with my blog From Ashy to Classy, Ashy2Classy.net, and also 1/4 of Straight Outta Low Cash podcast. You can get us on Stitcher. With comedy, sports, fun. We just add food, hip hop, bring different artists in and interviewing different people. It's just fun around the way like things used to be. Also, we got a reality series coming out from Low Cash to Mo Cash. Coming out like next week. So, yeah, definitely. I got to be at the lecture on Casey and them show, like his crew. So, I got to get my corner on West on right quick.
Thank you so much. And last but not least, you guys, I don't think everybody's had a chance to meet, but my hubby, I don't know if you guys have been checking him out, but he has a new podcast up on Black Is called The Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. It is an off-the-chain sports podcast, and it is my husband and my brother-in-law, Jonathan. Baby, will you please introduce yourself?
I am Chris Layman. I am the co-host of Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. I'm with my brother, Jonathan. We just chop it up, speak on everything sports-related, just having a good time and, you know, speaking how we feel.
I have to be honest up front, though. I thought it was like a podcast about something about stocks or something, and I saw it pop up on my thing, and I was really, like, real, real iffy about it at first. I was like, the Lehman Brothers, ain't they going to be for the paper? But y'all, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good, though.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Chris, I got to link it up to your show the other week, so thumbs up, baby.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, we just been pushing through, hoping everybody enjoys it. We have a good time just saying how we feel.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's the worst stock podcast I've ever heard, man. I invested a lot of money in the Boston Celtics after listening to y'all's show, man. And I'm off the top, so.
We just go in, and my brother doesn't care. He's real passionate about how he feels, and you know, that's just how the Brothers Layman do it.
They're going to give it to you raw, that's for sure. The thing that's so awesome, you guys, and I just have to say that quick plug for them, Chris and I have been together 12 years, so I have heard these conversations with he and my brother-in-law for years. They just get on the phone, no matter what sport is happening, and start chopping it up. And I'm so glad that they decided to take it to a podcast. So I'm going to jump into a topic that we have had on the Black Is Roundtable Queue for months. And for some reason, we just keep bypassing it, and I'm throwing it out there to this roundtable of brethren on the phone, and that is the black men's sexual politics. How many of you guys had an opportunity to listen to our podcast on black women's sexual politics? Anybody, did you guys hear that one?
Yeah,
I heard
that one.
Yeah. What did you guys think about that podcast?
Women are complicated.
That's basically it. Women are just, I mean, there's do, don't do this, don't do that, don't touch that, say this, don't say that. And we just are a lot more simple than that.
That's so funny, because I thought from that podcast, we were all being so open and honest that I got a lot of feedback where brothers were saying, wow, I'm glad I have never heard black women talk that frankly about sex and sexuality, especially amongst themselves. And I know the first thing that we talked about was our don'ts. And everybody's response was like, don't what? There are no don'ts. When you're in a situation with a man who you care about and the sex is good, there are no don'ts. That man can explore as far as you guys agree upon sexually. You guys can explore as far as you want to go. So with the brothers, I got a question. When it comes to sex, what are your don'ts? What are the things that you don't do? Because I suspect that black men are a tad bit more conservative than we are.
Right, Rick, Casey, let me tell you something. Listen, first of all, that podcast there was it was intellectually freaky, so I had a great time listening to that podcast. Man, yeah, your panel are freaks, dude. I love them women. If I get divorced, I'm coming to Cali. But now, with that being said, I have pretty much don't play with my asshole. That's it.
Bingo.
I'm a male chauvinist. I believe that I have access to areas that you may not have access to. Do not put anything near my asshole. That is my don't. Everything else I'm pretty much powerful. I'm pretty much gang.
Is the asshole off limits because we make the assumption that that becomes a homosexual thing? Because it is technically an erogenous zone.
Exactly.
I don't think it's just the homosexuality of it either. I think a lot of people have, especially men, have problems giving up control in the bedroom.
Okay.
So it's like, I think the act of penetration is what, at least in American society, we view as, well, shit, in the world, is how we view the power of sex. Like, whoever is penetrating the other person is the power. Even in gay relationships with two men, it's like, well, one's the bottom and one's the top, or one's the man of the gay relationship, one's the woman of the gay relationship. So I think penetration is taking on a whole nother level, and a lot of men aren't going to give up that type of power in the bedroom.
Okay. So, okay, I get it. The assumption behind even asshole play means that there has to be some level of penetration happening, be it with a finger, a tongue, something, and that is just absolutely off limits.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, Jay-Z. My worst fear is waking up from being dead asleep, face down, strapped to something. My hands and legs where I cannot move. That is my biggest fear in the world. I can't deal with it. If that was to ever happen to me, I would die just for the fact that that happened.
That's a little Pulp Fiction-ish right there. Huh?
That's my biggest fear in the world. I don't fear much, but that I fear that.
Well, there's only one way to conquer your fears, man.
Exactly. That's why I have no posts on my bed. I'm weary of four-post beds.
let me say something about the tongue. I think I've got my asshole licked, but I'm so licked but not penetrated. Because, see, with my wife for 17 years, I walk in the house, as long as my daughter's not home, I walk in the house and just take it. As soon as I see her, I walk in the door and I take it. And, like, I just can't imagine, like, a spontaneous sex act where she's the aggressive one and her first act is to put her, finger in my ass. So that's my only note once again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me just flip the question. I forgot.
My note is just keep out of my business. Like, that's all I care about. Like, whatever we do in the bedroom, my no would just be, like, no talking about what we do in the bedroom. Like, advertising. Because I don't think it's anybody's business.
No conversations outside of your household about what you and your wife do in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, though, Stacey, I would say, I think it's probably like the part of the G-code that you really don't talk about anything that you do with your main chick or the girl you care about outside of that anyway. I would just think that was a general G-code right there.
I just thought somebody should mention it, because since we're supposed to be talking for the respect of men, if somebody's listening, they might not know that.
That's a good point.
That is a very good point. I think within our community, period, conversations about sex are taboo. And that's part of the reason why I've had these two topics on the table, is because when it comes to sex, we don't have these conversations. And I think often, I'm definitely not debating with you, Rod. I think within a marriage, there's definitely a certain amount of sacredness that has to be there. But in regards to relationships between black men and black women, there's so much dishonesty, and that's because there's not a lot of conversation and there's not a lot of trust. And so sometimes when we don't talk about these things, it breeds those situations to happen. That's just my opinion.
No,
but
I actually agree with you, and I think talking about it in general is, like, I have no problems with that. But I think it's more like the specifics of it. And that would actually,
right,
even if I wasn't married, I would extend that to any chick that I was dating. I wouldn't be running around like, and then we did this, and then she does that. But talking in general, like, oh, yeah, I've done this act before, that doesn't bother me, because you don't know who I did that with. But I think once people start running off at the mouth about what they do with their chick and what they do with their dude, a lot of people's opinions come into play that really don't have nothing to do with what's going on with y'all's relationship.
I hear that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think society puts in the way it shows. You would think that we talk about sex all the time. That is just put out there that, we talk about the act all day. I mean, I can turn on the radio and hear about sex all the time. But yeah, the more intimate portions, and how do you feel comfortable about certain things, that never gets talked about.
You know, it's funny you say that. I'm actually writing a post about it, but I think a lot of dudes really suffer from a big-time Madonna whore complex. I don't know if everybody knows what a Madonna whore complex is.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Like a Virgin. Go ahead.
Yeah. But like both of you that just want to know, so we're talking just about males in general. It's basically a guy that says, like, okay, this is my wife or my girl. I don't want to do certain things with her, though, because I look at her as this pristine thing that I don't want to really defecate on or mess up with unless it's having children with her. But then they have a side chick or another chick that they're messing with that they just like, I just do whatever I want to do to her, and I'm just going to get down whatever way I want to. And I think that's not even just a black male thing. I think there's a lot of male problems in general is that they look at their lady as not just something that they can be passionate with that about her, saying, or designating only certain things I'll do with her.
Agreed. That okay. It's that puritanical roots of America, man. Like,
yeah.
America was founded on that, man. I mean, the Scarlet Letter and calling women witches that and burning them at the stake that showed any type of, you know, self-reliance or sexuality and whatnot. Like, we are a very confused society because we have the whole, like, it's, you're open and you're free to do anything, but if you do it, you a hoe. And that,
right,
and so they marry these chicks that they think are, you know, holding up these same puritanical values that we've been passed down. But when you look at your lifestyle, you don't actually believe in any of that. So, you know, you like you see dudes getting divorced all the time. You see people like, oh, man, she don't even like having sex. It's like, well, you married her because she doesn't
yep.
like having sex. And you thought that would make her a better person and a better woman and all this shit, because that's how you define a woman's worth. And you end up in that trap.
And it's funny,
yeah, well,
though, because even deeper, though, I was even talking with some of my homeboys. We were, like, joking. It's like, man, why is it the chick you end up being with is not the chick that's one of the freakiest chicks you've been with? And I really thought about it. I was like, why isn't that, though? Like, why don't you want your chick to be one of the freakiest chicks you've been with that you really that you're dealing with on that level? And that's when I was really like, dude, we all got, like, a Madonna whore complex. We look at it like we don't want her to be all like that. But then we do, though, because then if she's not doing all that, we're going to get a side chick that's going to do that.
No, I think that, but you know what? When it comes to marriage, though, like my wife and I, we'll have company over, and we, you know, as far as putting it out there, I do agree with Rod to that extent of, I think everything kind of depends on who your circle is. I don't think saying that I get it from the wife or the husband is one thing, but like I work out a lot. And if I'm in the gym saying, yeah, dog, so I was up in that ass, you feel me? And I was doing this, I think that's a bit too much. However, you know, we have a close circle of friends that we have. Oh, see, in my house, sex is absolutely not taboo. Daryl, I'm happy you bring that Madonna thing up because I want to read up on that. But in my house, when we have adults over, very close knit circle of friends, we talk about anything. Nobody looks at each other strange. It's just a conversation. We're not ashamed of anything. One thing Daryl is absolutely correct on, I think the thing about a wife is we want her to have that title first before she goes into that behind the closed door horror stage. A lot of the mistakes that men make when we're courting women and stuff, we're not telling them what we expect. I'm one of the few men that says I want a woman that has had the shit fucked out of her, that knows what absolutely drop dead sex is. So she has a very good measuring stick if I am somebody that is giving her what it takes to please her. And, I think that's just that's the way I move.
Mr. Moody, I like that you say you have a system. That was cool.
It reminds me
of a college coach or something. He's like, I work into the system. Got it trained up.
I do, yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the question, gentlemen. Since the asshole is a off-limits region for you all, what about a woman if she offers you backdoor action? Are you taking that, or are you cool on that?
I will step up to the plate and bat, playing for the fences on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something I want to do every day, but at the same time, you know, birthdays, Christmas, Black History Month.
At the end of the day, man, I mean, if you really care about somebody, you just want them to be happy. So if that's something they're into, I would at least try that, you know, to make sure that she's cool.
Is it mandatory, though?
No.
What you mean, is it mandatory?
No.
Me? Nah, that's some white boy shit.
Okay.
I'm glad somebody said that because I think so, too. I've always thought that.
It's definitely white boy shit, man. If you look at pornographic movie titles like I do, if you look at when it has a cover with white women on it and it says something about ass, it's anal. When it's black women on it, it says something about ass, it's having a big ass. Like, it's a completely different cultural paradigm.
Yeah, okay. I love anal sex, but it's not mandatory.
Okay.
It's not mandatory at all.
Okay. What
right.
about?
I was gonna say, you start wondering if it's your spouse or whatever, then it's cool. But if it's a chick you just met and she's kind of like, yeah, I really it, and I want it, then you kind of like, then you start wondering, well, what else do you do? If this is a requirement for you, what else is on your list? You want me to
email
you? Are you into that kind of stuff? Like, what the hell?
But can I ask a question? Would that be, was that Chris right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? With that being said, doesn't that kind of magnify how kind of anal we are? No pun intended. doesn't that kind of exemplify how anal we are about sex? Anal sex, it's just another hole. It's like for some a person that's sexually free, that may not be a big deal. It just may be another way for them to be pleased or satisfied. Like, I don't make a big fuss out of what any woman says she does or requires. I just don't make a big deal out of it. That's her.
I agree, Mr. Moody.
Right. I mean, if she's into it and I just like it, yeah. But, you know, my mind will start wondering, like, well, what else? Okay, well, clearly, if you're really into this, like, what else are you really into? And I think it depends on the person, because some, you know, there's relationships where people don't, you know, they just like doing the basic shit. And something like that, they'd be like, whoa, I'm not, I ain't really into that. And depending on how religious they are, they may be like, I'm not down with that.
Right. Okay.
What is your fear? Like, what is the slippery slope that the next thing is on the list after anal off top? Like, what are you worried about after that?
If she comes out with it, like, the first time we got in a fuck, then I'm like, you know, do you like, are you going to want me to shit on your neck? Like, do you like animal play? Is it like, you know, but you know, but if we've been doing it a few times and you're like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm into that. Oh, okay. But if you throw it out, like, the first time we're going to do it, it's like, oh, okay. And, you know, you start getting to Madonna, like, how freaky are you? Like,
right.
Yo,
that
Chris,
makes something
Chris
that freak, should be
man.
Worked
Chris
out before
freak,
you
dog.
Do it.
For your mind to even go there, Chris, you got some type of freakiness in you, because I would never have thought of that shit in a million years. Like, she might want to fuck some animals. I don't know what she's into. She might want to shit on me. Like, you taking it to the next level.
Well, since we agree husband and wife should not discuss their bedroom antics in public, I have no comments. Look, next question, because this came up in the women's conversation really, really early. Head. How important is head to
Very.
Men? And is head mandatory?
Very, yes. Very,
no, we,
yes.
I forgot one no, man. I'm sorry to take it all the way back, but
okay.
I do have a no that I forgot to mention, which is only one dick per session.
We're gonna come around to threesomes, but I'm a file that away. No more than one dick in the bedroom. But when it comes,
I'm the only dick in all my fantasies. Every time I've had a fantasy, I've always been myself in it. Nobody else in it.
I have a one dick limit.
Up to and including one.
Yeah, up to and including one. I have one dick minimum and a one dick limit, dog. No,
if this is Google Plus, it'd be all kind of plus ones on your face.
Yeah.
Well, Casey, I think oral sex is the holy grail of the bedroom. I think that oral sex is, and this goes for both parties. This is the man, this is the woman. I think that sex is about, oral sex is a must. Now listen, I'm 42 years old. So at certain points in time, my fucking energy level just ain't really all up to pounding something out like that. Head can make me lose money in the studio and take my family out to dinner. The head is the most beautiful thing, and not just head. See, I don't like bird-fed head. That's what me and my crew call it. Not bird-fed head, when you're just poking and beaking, just poking on the shit and fucking playing around with the shit like that. Stop fucking around with my penis, man. Like, I like that saliva, wet, sticky, basically XXX head, sloppy, get the bed sheets wet head. And also, I don't believe that you should receive it, Jess. I believe if, you know, whatever a woman is dishing out to you, man, you need to go down there and do the same thing. So for me, head is super important in a relationship. It is super important in sexual intercourse.
And I'm actually glad you mentioned the reciprocal nature of it, because my question of head is twofold, not just the giving of head, but also, like, not just receiving head, but giving head. So not only somebody performing oral sex on you, but gentlemen, you all performing oral sex on women. Is all together,
yeah,
is it mandatory? Does it have to go down?
Head
is like this, it fits our society right now. Everything's quick. You want it fast. I can get head on lunch break. I can get head at Walmart if we shopping. I can get head in the car. I can get head anywhere. And that's like our society. We want everything, and we want it now. So if me and my girl, you know, we make eye contact in the produce section, we make a beeline for the family restroom. It's on. So
I think the other thing to it, maybe this is just unspoken, but it's also what people are comfortable with. Because I know there are some women that aren't comfortable with people going down on them, and I know that, you know, from listening to other podcasts and shit, there's men out there that will actually be like, no, fuck that, I'm going down on you, and you just gonna understand, and it's like that turns them off completely. It definitely is up to the individual and what they're comfortable with, but yeah, on my list, I would love to receive it, and that's probably a deal breaker if I don't, but, you know, on the other person's list, it's whatever they're down with, so yeah, if they will allow me to do it, of course.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I want to throw this question out here real quick because you're talking about head, but this is something I've been thinking about talking to a couple of people. Though. Do you think you can associate someone not giving you head or lack of it to them being selfish as a person?
No.
Like not giving themselves, though, is my point. Like not giving it themselves if you're in a relationship. Not like this somebody you're kicking on, somebody within a relationship.
I say no.
Okay.
I say no because I think a lot of women, a lot of women just find it repulsive. Sometimes a person can be a very giving person in general, and it's just a sexual act that they find repulsive, and they just don't want to do that. Like, I don't want a woman I'm kind of like Rod with how Rod was talking about the anal sex thing is the majority of white boy thing. I don't want a woman vomiting on my shit. Like, you know, like if you look at white porn, they literally are into some shit where women vomit on their dicks.
What's that, ghetto gaggers? Like ghetto gaggers?
Yeah, the ghetto gaggers and all that. So I don't want a woman, if I'm with a young lady in head, you can see that if she's just uncomfortable with it. I don't even want the head, dog. That's going to be some horrible
head.
I can't do it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like doing the dishes, how women don't necessarily always want your help to do the dishes, but they want you to want the help to do the dishes. That's kind of how head is. Like, I would like you to want to do that shit and do a good job rather than me having to beg for it and plead for it and then you half-ass do it. Then, no, I prefer not. Don't even touch my dick then.
Right.
Amen to that, brother. But the gagging thing, I can't do gagging at all. I hate hearing people gag in public. If I'm watching porn at all and there's a gag, I turn it off and do something else. I just can't deal with it.
It's not the gag for me. It's the like the way that they're so fucking forceful. It's like mouth rape. Like I can't deal with that shit, and I don't need no throw up and shit. But you know, gagging can actually be kind of sexy. So I'm not saying like you can't gag, but it don't need to be no involuntary. Like I'm trying to kill you with my dick gagging. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. I'm a freaky motherfucker, and all I'm saying with that gagging shit is, man. Yo, one missed stroke, and the head of that penis hit that wisdom tooth.
Oh,
that could be some serious shit right there. But no, Daryl, I don't think that's the way you can tell that a woman herself. Not just off head. I think that there are. I know where you're going with that. I think there are other things that we can figure that out about. But just not really a sex act.
Here's the thing. It's a relationship. It's a whole lot of opportunity to determine if they're selfish. Like, it's not going to be head that's going to determine. It's going to be some other shit. Like, really, you don't want to pick the kids up after work? You know you want to pick that shit.
Wait a minute, and you don't want to give head? You don't want to pick the babies up, and you don't give no head? Oh, I'm out of here, goddammit.
Tonight's episode is sponsored by LDB Cosmetics. Are you looking for an experienced celebrity makeup artist for your wedding, fashion show, photo shoot, or movie? Do you just need a few tips to spruce up your look or want a makeover for a special event? Then visit LDBCosmetics.com for all your makeup artistry needs. LDB Cosmetics is a Black-owned business stationed in the DMV area that believes that everyone is beautiful and has created a special technique to bring out the inner beauty in everyone, no matter race, age, or gender. Don't worry about cost. LDB Cosmetic services are very affordable, and pricing will be discussed during your one-on-one consultation. For more information, visit ldbcosmetics.com, email us at info@ldbcosmetics.com, or call us at 443-531-4634. That's 443-531-4634. And remember to keep it beauty.
I feel like the conversation about threesomes, since you, Rod, made his statement and everybody kind of chimed in behind him, that kind of is almost self-explanatory. So I'm going to ask like two blanket questions. You guys give me a choral yes or no. So when it comes to threesomes, no additional men, right?
No.
Preferably not.
But
I will say preferably not also. I have done it with me and my cousin used to be the Bang Brothers for real. So.
I heard that.
Y'all run that train? Trish and Nathaniel?
We used to call ourselves the Fabulous Taker Boys.
Well, Casey, can I ask one question? You're talking about, with the threesome, are you talking about in serious dating and marriage, or are you just talking about in general?
It is a general question, but I would like somebody to pontificate on the experience if it's in a serious relationship. Do you even get into it if you're in a serious relationship?
In a serious relationship, no. As a bachelor, yes.
Okay.
I don't work. Yeah.
Hey man,
no
wait.
Problem.
Can we go back? Can we go back to the Bang Brother shit, man? Like, how close do you gotta be with a dude before you can like pull that off? Because I don't think I've ever had a
me
friend
neither.
That I was that
close. Well, growing up,
I got the answer. Y'all tell me when y'all want it. Yeah.
Hey, growing up in the country, me and my cousins and brothers, and we used to take baths together, so it ain't like it's a big deal. But I mean, it wasn't like there was touching. There was never no penis touch involved. It was one on one end, one on the other. Spin her around. It was really efficient if you think energy wise, because you know when I wasn't really into trying to tear it up, he was, and we just flipped. And you know I could rest. It's just like going to the bench when you know she's giving you head and he's pounding it from behind. It's like going to the bench. You just pass.
Has anybody DP'd a chick?
Yeah, I'm about to break it down, and this is when I realized that this could never happen again. After this happened, I got up and I was macho for 8 days in a row for no apparent reason. I just wanted people to know I was a man. But let me tell you about the DP thing. We have traveled, you know, sports and entertainment. I've kind of traveled a lot. So we used to do, I guess, what you can call sports entertainment shit, or maybe what we thought we were supposed to be doing because we were in that particular field. So we've done a lot of that. And we went to this thing one day. We had a couple of young ladies, and then me and my actual brother, we decided that we were going to do the you ride him while I straddle you from the back. He's going to get up in the vagina. I'm going to get up in the ass. So I said, yo, this is cool. Let's get it done. Here's the problem with that. The lining between the anus and the vagina is less than paper thin. So as he was doing that, strangely enough, I felt this rock-hard object touching my thing through somebody else's flesh, and instantly, I lost about 35 points of manhood. So I jumped up, and I just was, like, terrified. And like I said, I spent the next 8 days just making sure everybody knew that I was a real guy. Like, I would just look at you and say, what are you looking at? I'm a real man, dog. All right, dog, ain't nobody. That is not the DP. I think that DP is very, when I watch a porno, which I'm an avid porn watcher, when I watch porno, I think that those guys that do that DP stuff, I would not be surprised if they get it on when the shoot is over. Seriously. It's just too close for comfort.
Interesting.
All right. But yeah. I would say as far as with the threesome, I know Kim and I have talked about it. We've just been open about having a threesome. I think in relationships, for me, it's kind of like if I ask you to bring in another woman, I have to be open to the fact that you might ask the same thing of me.
Right.
If your person is into that and be like, well, can I, you know, have another guy? That's what I want. And I can't be like, well, no, you can't. Like, well, I can't. I don't feel fair asking and then being like, well, you can't ask, but I can ask all I want.
Well, I feel like your rules between your couples are your rules. Like, I listen to, like, certain podcasts and stuff where they talk about, like, swinger couples and open relationships, and it pretty much is the same as everybody else's relationship except, you know, they have different rules. And some rules are just maybe she's bisexual and he's straight, so it's okay to invite another woman into that bedroom, but neither one of them would want another man into the bedroom or something like that. Like, you know, it really depends on that couple for a lot of this stuff. But personally, I guess I'll be the only dude that says it, but I'm not even into two women. Like, that's not even my fantasy. Like, that, like, even when I see that shit on porn, I'm like, eh, maybe let's see what the next scene is. Like, it's never been my thing. It's just the way I'm wired. So, and I don't think I'm in the majority at all. It just ain't my thing.
Okay. I have a question that I know women, we talk about this constantly because we live in a society that perpetuates a specific stereotype in regards to what men desire and what men fantasize about when it comes to the ultimate woman for them or what they're looking for. But over the years and having friendships with different men, I've come to discover that sometimes what we've been taught and what is actually true don't necessarily align. I wanted to know with you gentlemen, what is it about a woman that you find sexy? What does she have to have? What are those things that are absolute non-negotiables? For example, and this was a weird one for me, I had a brother who told me he liked a woman with stretch marks. He said as much as he could open up a Playboy, you know, or something like that and look at women, he preferred, you know, like these older, raunchier magazines like Blacktail or something like that because they showed real women. And, you know, you might see a stretch mark, you might see that. And he said when he looks at the women who are all airbrushed and all of that, he knows that's not real. So
he must
that
like
was,
gunshot wounds, too.
He might. That was something that he was into. You know, I thought that was an anomaly for sure. But what are some of the things that you all find attractive about women
Hold on, if my man just equate gunshot wounds to stretch marks.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme. That's pretty extreme.
Hey, look, in Memphis, sometimes you see that. I've been to a strip club at home, and, yeah, she had three bullet wounds. And she told
Next
you why she was shaking
mark.
It.
There's a lot of
and that's
right.
Why stretch marks will never bother me. As long as you don't have stab marks or gunshot wounds, I'm good. But I would say what I find sexy in a woman would probably just be confidence. That's just the most important thing to me. If you are confident, I mean, in yourself, and I don't have to constantly say, baby, you're great, you're good, I love you, everything you want to do today. You know, if my woman can come in and say, my day was just shitty, and then like, you know what, but it's over with, I'm good. If I don't have to sit there and constantly build her up all the time, I wouldn't, you know, sometimes you have to. Sometimes people just don't feel good, and you have to build them up. But if you don't have to do it on a consistent daily basis, then I'm all for that. Confidence is the most important to me.
Okay, so yours is not even a physical thing.
No, it's just because no matter how good you look, I can hate your ass if you ain't got no confidence. If I'm constantly having to, you know, if you sound like Eeyore all the time, I can't deal with it. I don't care how fine you are.
Yeah. For me, I like, I think the most attractive thing and probably mandatory thing for me is actually a sense of humor. Like, I like funny women, in general, and I fucking hate non-funny people in general. So a non-funny person that I'm fucking is completely no, that can't happen. So you got to have some type of sense of humor and be able to laugh, because I find that wit is attractive, and especially the ability to laugh at yourself is something about that's really inspiring and has that true confidence, because there's a lot of people that fake being funny, a lot of women that think they're funny because, you know, we dudes, we want to fuck you, so we pretend that you're funny. You think that you're funny when you're actually not funny. And the second that you know, dudes pump up women's heads, so the second that, you know, they get in contact with someone that actually is just judging the merits of their character off of, you know, their sense of humor, and they can't take a joke on themselves, then you see, like, well, this is just fake. This isn't real. This isn't, you know, you're not actually really that humble or that funny or that sharp. So I think a sense of humor is probably the most attractive thing any woman can have.
Right. Is every man on this phone over 30 years old?
Yeah, I think I am.
Everybody on the call is over 30. I think that one thing that you're hearing from the guys, KC, is there's a maturity level that comes into play at a certain point in your life where the things that, you know, the bow legs, fat ass, curly hair, that shit becomes irrelevant after a while. You know, when you get serious about yourself, my ideal woman is a go-getter. I am constantly moving. I literally don't stop moving. And my ideal woman is a woman that she can go and get it. I can take care of my wife, but my wife would drop dead if she wasn't a go-getter. I need a go-getter. I need a woman that is about taking care of her. You know, I love a little miniature philanthropist. Like my wife, I have the kind of wife, we have a running joke. My wife likes very tall, midnight black, bald-headed men. I am 5'10", red like a blood stain, and whatever. I deal typically with Latino women and whatever kind of, you know, that's typically my thing. We are polar opposites of what when we were younger, we said we would be attracted to. The reason that I married this particular woman and the reason that we're still married after all this time, she is a go-getter. But not only is she a go-getter, she gives a shit about people. My wife is about motivating people. So my qualities in a woman is get out there and get yours. I like to see you go get it. I don't even care if you get it more than me. I'll support you through that. But we do soup kitchens, shelters. We you know, we give our time back to the community. And those are my two biggest things about a woman. I have learned as I've gotten older, what we think is beauty is really a crock of shit, because it's just, no matter who we think the most beautiful woman in the world is, just live with her ass for half a year. She'll annoy you like every other woman does. So I've learned a different definition of what beauty is. I need a go-getter. I need somebody that's involved in their community and somebody that wants to be a wife and a mother. And I'm fortunate enough to have who I have now. So those are my top two with a woman.
I mean, I'd have to say for mine, it depends on every woman has. If you're able to rock who you are to a high level, I really like that. You know, like there's some girls I'm just not gonna mess with on a physical level just because of some of my vanity. But in general, I've been attracted to girls I normally would be attracted to because they rock who they are so to a high level.
Yeah, right.
That I was like,
right.
Yo, like man, I don't even know why I like her. Like, but it's something, she rocks who she was. And it was like that genuineness of being who you are. Don't, even if you're being uncomfortable or just being, you can tell. It's like, I guess, in general, just being around so many different people and doing so many different things, you can tell when somebody's a straight friend, or maybe I just feel like they're fronting and it doesn't feel genuine. Like, it could be a male or a female, even though, like, when you just meet somebody, like, dude, man, there's something about that dude. He just seems cool as hell. And you ain't got to, it's not nothing they're doing specifically. There's something they're cool about who they are. And those are the main women I like, is that who cool at who they are. And you can just feel that good energy coming off of them. And that's mainly what I vibe off is energy. Like, you can be fine, but if I ain't really, like, vibing you, I ain't got that initial, that attraction to you, then it ain't gonna matter.
Right. I would say I like a woman, for me, is some woman with a good head on her shoulders. I mean, there, to me nowadays, and looking around and now being, you know, almost 35, there's a lot of good-looking women out here. So, at some point, all that kind of canceled each other out. I'm like, okay, so those women who think it's just about their look and they're not offering anything else, I'm like, the fuck is that? That's nothing. You want somebody can you think for yourself? Do you have a brain? You know, what did you do with your life? You know, I don't want a woman who, you know, you're just into what I'm into. Like, speak the hell up, you know, think for yourself and, you know, and own yourself. It's your life.
Right, and comfortable. Casey, please let me just say this one thing because I'm down here in Atlanta. And in Atlanta, the women outnumber the men. The last time I checked, it was 11 to 1. I don't know if it went up since then. There's some really beautiful, successful sisters down here. What's always attracted me to some of the sisters in Atlanta, like, I, you know, because you're married doesn't mean you lose attraction for other women. The people that tell you that are full of shit. I still go out. I still have to network. And I still see women. I'm like, wow, there's something about her that she's fly. And the women down here in Atlanta, they will do, well, a lot of women, they will do whatever they have to do to get a man. If they got to buy a Benz, they'll do it. If they got to wear the skirt above their ass, they'll do it. If you go out to a networking event or a club in Atlanta, you see doctors and lawyers with booty shorts on. They are starving. They are starving for mates down here. They're literally starving where a married guy like me, I can walk in the club and say I'm not gay and have 20 women lined up to get my number. So one thing I like, another great quality about a woman, especially when you live in a city where the margin is so wide gate between who's available and how many women there are as opposed to men, I like a woman that's comfortable in her own skin and is not going to play the games. I have a heavy attraction to all natural women. So you can go to a networking event. You get a bunch of weaved out women, and I get in trouble with the weave stuff all the time, but mm-hmm. I still love those sisters. But you get a bunch of women that are trying to real efficient, and then you have that woman that's there doing strictly business. She's so comfortable with herself that she's there for a reason. She's going to do that, and then she's going to be out. You can meet a woman down here that has on sweatpants, a T-shirt, some flip-flops, and a baseball cap. And she is so confident about herself that you're attracted to her. So being comfortable in your own skin is absolutely a must also. I mean, it's a must. And that's very attractive.
Mm-hmm. I'd also throw in, it doesn't hurt to have a nice ass, like.
Not at all.
There's nobody fucked up.
Not at all.
And nothing wrong with a big old booty, man.
Yeah,
not wrong with a big old booty.
No, TNA is very nice, and that does work for you.
I will say this, though. I do have a vain thing that I will throw in here, though. I'm a skinnier kind of lanky dude, though, and I can't date a girl that's got the same body type as me. Like, I've tried that. Don't work. I just can't do that. You can't be skinny like me. Like, that skinny like me.
See, that sounds like an injury right there. Like, somebody
injured. Yeah, no, you're
going to
start
right
a fire,
there.
Though, man. You'll start a fire, man, and then you grab the crib. And, like, it's not sexy because you look down, you'd be like, dude, that's my body. Like,
and it's interesting. I don't know how it is everywhere else, but L.A., that is a particular issue in regards to what women here are showcased, and you know, in regards to what I'm sounding incoherent, but basically what we're taught that men want is a really thin woman, and it's things have gotten a lot more diverse in regards to skin color, in regards to hair, because natural has now become a trend. So you know, every
mm-hmm.
woman who's on television now has natural hair, but
mm-hmm.
the size thing is still in vogue. It's still,
it's,
you know,
well,
thin as in.
It's also L.A. Like, I
it's
mean,
very L.A.
Yeah, like, that's like, down here, that shit is not, definitely not a mandatory thing in Charlotte, North Carolina. But, yeah, that, like, L.A., if you look at what is sent out from L.A. to the rest of the world with the movie
mm-hmm.
industry,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you have fucking 70-pound Zoe Saldana fighting 250-pound linebackers in a movie, and I'm supposed
right.
to be, like, turned on by that or believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't think that Hollywood necessarily represents what the majority of black men are into specifically, because a lot of this shit caters to white dudes, man. And if that's, you know, that's what white dudes are into, these girls that look kind of like boys and shit, some of them, then they can have that. But that's why I think that body image is promoted so hard, you know, in L.A., because you can't get a fuck. If you're some type of model or actress, you can't get a job looking like a normal woman from North Carolina up there in L.A. So maybe that's mm-hmm. what's going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Moody. Go ahead.
No, I applaud the fact that there's so many brothers like Rod, Burberry, myself. What he just said, every dude in the – I can speak for – this is one of the few times I speak for every man on the line. Every dude agrees with that. I don't want a chick that looks like a guy. It doesn't make – for my dick, it doesn't work. Like, it won't react to stuff like that. Like, I've never banged, like, a anorexic – female, but like, look at the magazines, look at the television, look at what they show us, and what they're saying is this. I think that's unhealthy. This ain't like this unhealthy example of a woman. I think brothers, we don't want skinny women. I think that if you ask a lot of brothers, Casey, I think they'll say, I want a woman that's in shape, and that's very wide ranging. You can have a very thick sister that's in perfect shape. No, we need something to hold on to.
I saw an article the other day that said something like Kellogg's is going with plus size models. So I clicked on the advertisement, and it was normal ass women. Like, it wasn't like, I was thinking like, oh, okay, so they're going to go with, you know, women that, you know, maybe they weigh about 200 pounds or so or something, and that's their new thing. And it's like women that weigh like 130, and it's like, yeah, look at her, she's plus size woman. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? I know a lot of women that weigh between like 160, 130, 170 that aren't, they don't look fat, they don't look plus size, they don't have to go shop in a special section or anything. But it's like, if I'm a woman and I'm looking at that, I'm like, so the plus size model was 10 pounds lighter than me? Okay, thank you, Kellogg. I get it.
But it's another caveat I want to throw out there, though, since we're talking about body types. I've run into women now that believe, especially, I guess, with the way hip-hop is now, that you got to have a fat ass and big titties, though. Like, the other side of the game, I guess maybe outside of California, seems like that you do have to have all that, though.
Yeah, and the thing that
don't understand why that happens. I don't get it. I mean, we know what real women look like, but yet out on TV and all the images that are put out, they aren't real women. So I don't understand, like, who is sitting up there in the office going, you know what, fuck all that. Let's put this out there.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a reflection of the audience, because we want to believe the lie. We want to believe the extreme. And like I said, a lot of shit is a pitch for us. So it's like, you know, when we see certain things, I think that's why you see a lot of black women become iconic in Hollywood, is because white men and black men can agree that this one famous chick looks good to both of us. But in general, you're gonna see a lot less black actresses getting that gig and stuff like that. It's because it's all catered towards white men. So I think that matters a lot.
It's weird out here in L.A. I don't know how sisters do it. Because I'm particular, I like some meat on my balls. I like more full-figure women. And you do get one end where you're promoted that if you're under 100 pounds, that's what you want to be. But on the other end, you still get this men like big ass, you know, because you get the whole J-Lo and the Kardashian. You're like, well, and Scarlett Johansson, they like asses, but it's like, so you want a big ass, but you want to be like 100 pounds. Like, how does that doesn't work?
A big ass on a little body.
Cement in their ass. Yeah, you can put cement in their butts now.
Yeah, I'd even actually go a little bit further and say, I even feel bad for some white women, man. Because, like, there's a lot of white women that don't fit the stereotype of what these dudes supposedly want. Like, there's a lot of full-figure white women that I'm like, oh, yeah, she's attractive. But Hollywood is telling her that she's fat and she needs to lose
weight. She's fat, yeah.
And all that shit. So, like, it's catching women. It's giving women hell.
So you said there's no country for big white girls, then?
I mean, it's country over here, but I'm just saying there ain't no country on that TV.
Yeah. Well, I think the sisters that listen to this podcast will be grateful to hear that, and just all women of color, because we range in so many different sizes, but, you know, we rarely see – I mean, it's either one extreme or the other. Either you have the itty-bitty super skinny chick or you have Precious. Like, there's no room for the woman that falls somewhere in between.
If there's women listening to this, man, let me just give all the women listening to this some advice. If you're listening to this, and I don't know if you have a man or not, or you're dating somebody, whatever, Why don't you just go to like assoverload.com, see if you look like those chicks, because those chicks are, you know, used for pornographic purposes, and I guarantee there's a lot more women that look closer to that and walking around in real life than look like Zoe Saldana's 55-pound ass. So check that out, and if that's what your dude is touching himself to, there's a feeling, I got a feeling that he will also be into you.
Right, and also for the sisters out there, just remember, I know this is a bigger project than just saying it so flatly, but just remember, man, guys typically are going to go for what you tolerate. You have to look at yourself and start feeling better about yourself. You have to stop looking at, I hate when black women look at television and listen to songs and all that stuff, and that is the model for who they want to be. You're not going to be able to be 150 pounds and get down to 98 pounds unless you're smoking crack. Unless you get sick or something, embrace yourself for who you are and stop listening to the nonsense about what men want from a particular body type and whatever. There's somebody for everybody. What more sisters have to worry about your attitude and your mentality, and worry about who you are as a person, because everything else kind of falls into place after that. And I promise you it does. So we love thick women, but we want women to take care of themselves, and that's not hard to figure out.
Yep. Okay. What do you want?
Check out the hippest podcast in America, BlackIsOnline.com. To watch Dynasty, to have an attitude.